The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director, looking ahead to the championship games in the AFC and NFC. Usually, without fail, championship weekend in the NFL games are better than the Super Bowl. Not always, but more often than not, because you're this close. Green Bay is this close. San Francisco's this close. Tennessee's this close. Kansas City's this close. Not all the distractions, all the stuff that goes on around Super Bowl week, and all the buildup. I am more into championship weekend than I am the Super Bowl usually. The Super Bowl is like a celebration, and oh, by the way, there's a game. This weekend, it is completely, totally, 100% about football. And so we'll have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, the AFC and NFC championship games. Pedro Gomez is going to be with us today, and Pedro is from Boston today. On the latest news, I want to do a deep dive with Pedro because I don't think that the final shoes have dropped in this whole cheating scandal. As we're speaking, down in Port St. Lucie, Florida, Mike Piazza is having a street named after him at the New York Mets facility. At the same time, there's media that has flown down from New York City to get a statement from the Mets about the future of Carlos Beltran. Carlos Beltran has been put right in the middle of this mess, and could there be a third manager that's tossed out to the street along with what we've seen with A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora? This cheating scandal is something that just continues to unfold. There's many, many layers to this. I want to know from Pedro, how deep is this going to go? And, you know, Chris Bryant and the Diamondbacks has been out there, too, for a while here in the offseason. So I'll get caught up with Pedro on that. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. If you've not thought about life insurance, I would say to you, guys, do you have people that depend on you to come home tonight? Do you have people in your circles that if something were to happen to you today, that they would be protected? Could it be their college funds? Could it be just life after you're gone? And life insurance can take care of that for you. There's Peace Assured from Sagicor, terrific program. If something were to happen to you for funeral costs, you guys see these stories they do on the news about how they had to do a car wash to pay for a funeral? Sagicor has plans on this, okay? And it's stuff that's real. Stuff that's, last time I checked, none of us are getting out of here alive. So go to Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now. Go to Sagicor Now. Get your free quote. That's at Sagicor. Plenty of great products and great people within the community at Sagicor Now. All right, Jimmy Vaccaro here in a few minutes. I think the stories that are of interest to me today, the Odell Beckham Jr. handing out cash story. We did something on this earlier in the week. I think the story is only continuing to grow, too, because now it's on the NCAA's feet. What do the NCAA, what do they think, what do they do in regards to a rogue former player? He is now a booster. So when there are boosters that cross lines, and what do you know? Boosters cross lines all the time. They hand out cash. They give fake jobs. They do all sorts of things. When they do that and they're caught by the university, they are then disassociated from that school. Odell Beckham Jr. decided to walk out on the field and unfold cash and hand real cash to players. Now, Joe Burrow says on a podcast that the cash was real, but he's now a former NCAA athlete, thus he's able to do it. But there are current players that received cash too. One of the wide receivers for LSU looked like was getting counting out $100 per catch. When I went back into and thought of this story, it took me back to when I was a very young play-by-play guy in Vista, California. Vista had a couple of players that went on and played in college. One of them was a tragic story, Sal Anesi, the quarterback who went to Colorado, who passed away from cancer with great Bill McCartney. If you're a Colorado fan, a CU fan, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But Sal had a very good team at Vista High School. He had a guy named Tomasi Amatawani. He had a guy named Tommy Booker. These were very, very good players. Tomasi, I believe, went to USC. Tommy went on to San Diego State. Whenever Vista High played and the game ended, the players would walk along the fence line with their helmets turned upside down and open. And the families would then throw money into the helmets of players as they deemed fit for their performance. This was in high school. The local TV stations found out about it. Of course, they went and did the story. Of course, it led the news. And of course, it is something that within a culture, that's what they had done for years. Was it a violation? Was it right? Was it wrong? So here you have, in a different space, a guy that has a me problem, very much so, and that's OBJ. It's me. I've got to be on in the spotlight all the time. To think that, you know what, I'm going to go get some cash out of the ATM. I'm going to go put in my PIN number, and I'm going to go get a bunch of hundies, and I'm going to run out on the field, and I'm going to hand out cash and in front of cameras, that this wasn't going to blow up into something, is foolish. This is OBJ saying, look at me. Now, does LSU and their athletic director say, yeah, we've looked at you, and you are banned now from being on the sidelines at any game of any shape, of any form? You can come into the stadium, but you're not allowed to be out on the field with your sideline pass. Do I think other players have done this through the years? Duh. Of course I do. All right? So this is just something that's caught in the spotlight. Eric, where are you at on this one with OBJ?
Dumb will be dumb, and that was just dumb.
Calculated.
Of course. He wants to put himself in the middle of the spotlight, as you mentioned. And that's, he did that exactly. The one thing that I wanted to ask you about, I was wondering if you noticed during the game the other night, that the LSU players, former players, were not just on the sideline. They were, like, a part of the team.
Yeah.
Like, Honey Badger was, like, sitting on the bench with the secondary.
Yep.
Patrick Peterson was standing there talking to players. Usually, if you go to an ASU game, the former players are sort of on the between the 20s, so to speak, and the actual team is doing their thing. But in the national championship game, the former LSU players, if they would have put on uniforms, they probably just could have gone in the game.
Nobody would have known.
They were that close to the action. So,
but don't you find that? I guess I look at that and say, yeah, I've seen that through the big programs through the years, like Arizona. I'll bring it back to home. These Arizona State fans that think that ASU is heading in the right direction, sure, you can get excited about guys in January that are supposed five stars, or if they're five stars. What do you mean supposed? I've seen lots of guys with lots of stars that have done nothing. And I've seen lots of guys with lots of stars that get upset because they don't get the ball thrown to them enough. So let's just tap the brakes on this. If ASU aspires to be the Harvard of the West, if I'm borrowing Michael Crow's deal, or just in general, one of the top programs in the country, then I would suggest to them that there should be dozens of players showing up at games and not just a few of them showing up at games. They're not there yet. It's not a shot. It's a fact. It's just how it is. I don't mind the former players, Eric, in that space. I just think the NCAA has not said anything as of yet. Players think that they don't get money, they don't get paid enough that's out there because the scholarship doesn't cover everything, and I agree with that, but to think that they should be giving hundreds of thousands of dollars on top of a $100,000 education is ludicrous. There is a balance in this story. I just wonder what people like the NCAA are doing today, because they have not addressed this today. The Carlos Beltran story with Pedro in about 15 minutes, that one is really interesting to me because he's right in the middle of all of this. And baseball's already whacked two big ones. And baseball, they've fallen behind the NFL by a long ways. America's pastime is no longer America's game. America's game is the NFL on Sundays, whether I like the quality of the NFL or how I think that they're arrogant and pushy and all that stuff. They think they're all that and they're not. America's pastime has fallen behind, and we're sitting here in mid-January with two very good managers that are cheaters. They are. People want to bury AJ Hinch and Alex Cora. I don't know Alex Cora at all. I barely knew AJ Hinch when he was here, but I found him to be a pretty good guy. So when Pedro comes on here in about 15 minutes, it is, are these guys going to be given a second chance? Should Carlos Beltran been whacked? Was Pedro hearing anything about this? It's kind of like the steroid scandal back in the day. We were hearing, we just never really dug around on it. So a trash can lid ends up being the end of Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran and AJ Hinch. So we'll get into all that. Up next, Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. That is next. I'm Brad Sussman. For over 30 years, I've been having Jimmy Vaccaro come on the show in various ways, shapes, and forms. When I've been in various markets, LA, San Diego, Phoenix, here in Phoenix, on the TV side with Fox Sports, all sorts of different ways. And you can see Jimmy in person. All you have to do is go to the South Point Casino Resort. He'll be sitting there with a ham sandwich, taking the slips, I guess is the best way to put it. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing fine, young man. What a weekend last weekend, but I think we might top it come Sunday, my friend, but this is a great part of the season.
Yeah. Is there a number that you think Vegas may hit this weekend, Jimmy?
Well, you know, we rooted for about $35 million last week on the four games, and actually on the Monday night game also. I think we'll be about the same only because there's less games. But the enthusiasm and the ticket count will still be very high. So it'll still be pretty good.
Okay, let's go to the games then. The first game on Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock Arizona time, Tennessee. What a surprise at Kansas City. View from Vegas from Jimmy Vaccaro.
We opened the game 7, went to 7.5. Then the first big bet we've taken so far in this game is plus 7.5 with Tennessee for 44,000. So currently, here and in most books here in Nevada, Kansas City is 7, and the total is a lofty 53.
Go over to Green Bay at San Francisco, the sexy, attractive. You've got Aaron Rodgers against all those first-round picks on the defensive line for the 49ers. What do you make out of this one, Jimmy?
Well, we opened at 7.5, and we're still there. Just a lot of small stuff back and forth, but most of the small stuff right now is actually on the 49ers, and a total is 45. So you can see here with a 7 and a 7.5, there'll be a lot of teasers on Kansas City, the 49ers, and we'll see where it goes from here, my friend.
Take me back on that $44,000 bet. Can you even think of what this person is looking at?
Well, it's a lot of different things, Brad. A lot of people asked me that yesterday, and first of all, he may just like the 7.5, and there was some money on the 7.5 all over town. But you know, when you get in a spot like this, you might have Kansas City to win the conference at a big bet. So you take the 7.5 and have a way to win both of them. But he bet $44,000 to win $40,000, didn't blink an eye, my friend.
Wow! Have a good weekend, Jimmy. Thanks as always.
All right, buddy.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro there in Vegas. Go to the South Point Casino Resort, check in, see Jimmy. Eric did that last week. And was he working?
Last week?
No, 2 weeks ago.
Like, yeah, before Christmas.
Oh, before Christmas. I thought you were there.
Within the last month.
Right. So was he working?
He was.
When we go up there and Jimmy's working, he literally is sitting there taking bets at the window, and then he'll come over and he'll talk to us, or he'll be overseeing people.
He was in the back room when I got there, and I said, is Jimmy Vaccaro here? Oh, yeah. Can I say who it is? Oh, it's Eric Sorensen. Oh, okay, cool. And then he came rolling.
An hour? 2 hours?
He came rolling around.
4 hours?
We chatted for a little while, had a good conversation.
Did he give you a slip to go over and have some food?
He might have. He asked about you. Yeah. He said, how's Brad doing?
Yeah.
Why does he call more?
Yeah.
That's a story for another day.
We worked on that.
Of course.
So Jude is leaving, huh?
Jude LaCava is calling it a career in April.
In April.
Bravo to Scott Bordeaux, who wrote a really nice story on The Athletic. I do not subscribe, but someone who does sent me the article. Thank you to that person. So
Jude and I have been going back and forth on just stuff around town, and then he went dark.
Yep. Like, you are my mentor. Jude is probably like my mentor 1A in this business.
Did he say what he's going to do in this article?
He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Did he say why he's leaving?
He didn't. I guess he did. It did mention in the article that his mother passed away from breast cancer, and I believe his sister has a foundation that she's been running.
Yes, that Jude's very much a part of that.
And that was something that he was going to dive into, sounds like, full bore.
Good for him. Yeah, no, he's been, yeah. That's been a deal.
Yeah, that's a little bit more important than reading scores and scrolling through highlights for 3 minutes at 10:22 at night. So,
well, and the foundation that his sister's put together has done terrific work, and that's been there for a while. So it's about time. I know people on the sports end of things. You guys are watching this. You're consuming this in your job, or wherever it is that you're taking it in. When you do this every day, after a while, you do see that there are other things that are more important, but you just balance this out. You balance this out. And when we're first getting into this, we have no balance. We have no balance. We're at a Suns game, man. This is awesome. I'm doing the play-by-play of San Diego State with Marshall Faulk, and Mama's at home raising two kids, and I'm flying around the country, and Mama's wiping butts, and Mama's paying bills, and I'm doing basketball games in El Paso, right? And if you talk to any play-by-play guy on the sacrifice or any sportscaster on the sacrifice from a family side of things, it's usually, I teach this at Cronkite, it's usually, you know, you get to about your mid-40s, early 40s, and it starts to hit like, wow, okay, I'm at the Super Bowl again, and there's a million people or beyond that that would be absolutely jealous to be at the Super Bowl. I like to put it that people like eating sausage. Nobody likes to see how sausage is made. Okay, it tastes really good. When I walked out from Channel 3 and people were like, wow, why would you do such a thing? How could you put your family in harm's way? And how could you go and open something like this? And it's, guys, you're not seeing the sausage that's being made that is there every day. And it's nothing personal. It was just the industry. And in Jude's case, I am not surprised by this. Good for him. It's like Bruce Cooper pulling the ripcord over Channel 12. Good for him. They've seen it. They've done it. They've lived it. You only get one shot at this rodeo. Last time I checked, nobody gets out of here alive. We end up on the wrong side of the grass. And so for Jude to do this, I'm sure for some people, like, oh my gosh. Well, a little perspective. That's all. Well, Pedro Gomez on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now here's Pedro Gomez, and I'm excited to have Pedro on. I mentioned Eric earlier in the week that with everything going on in baseball, with A.J. Hinch being blown out, Alex Cora being blown out, and now all the rumblings about Carlos Beltran being blown out, how pervasive is this? Has this been something that's been below the surface that is just now coming to light that others have been aware of through the years, that people question, people scratch their heads, and there's none better than Pedro. You are in Boston today, right?
I am indeed.
Chaotic? How would you describe Boston in terms of Red Sox mania nation today?
I mean, look, Boston is always chaotic when it comes to the Red Sox. They, you know, that even when things are great, they're always chaotic because the this is an organization that grips the community, and the community in turn grips it back. So the smallest level of tension is you know, a rumbling earthquake here. To have your manager fired 1 month before pitchers and catchers report, actually 4 weeks,
yeah,
even less than a month, is really, really disturbing to a lot of people here. And as much as the front office, I think, tried to put on a good face, this is the last thing that they thought would happen or expected to happen.
When did you first know, suspect, think, hear that there was something funny, fishy going on with the Astros?
Well, look, the Athletics story with Mike Fiers was the first time that it went into such great detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were rumblings. There's always been rumblings, but rumblings are one thing, and the level of exposure that Mike Fiers was able to give, and then ultimately all of the investigating that went on, obviously just, you know, solidified everything. And that's why you have A.J. Hinch suspended for a year, Jeff Luhnow suspended for a year, Alex Cora fired, and it's a really, really ugly, ugly mess. But in terms of when you first knew, it's something that was really kept in the dark. Players don't, you know, organizations don't talk about these kind of things,
sure,
because
sure.
They know. It's kind of like the steroids.
Yep, yep.
As much as we may have suspected, there was really this code of silence.
Well, and that's my thing, Pedro. Which is the more egregious act? Is it cheating on baseball, or is it taking steroids for performance enhancement? And that's a tough one. And I'm not. If you don't have an answer, it's fine.
It's a difficult one.
Yes,
I would say, look,
yes.
One, you are making a choice for yourself. In the other one, this is a team-wide operation that went on where all 25 members ultimately had to know something was going on. Even if you're a reliever who never picks up a bat, mm-hmm. you have to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, maybe this is maybe more egregious in the sense that it's an entire organization in on it, at least the clubhouse is in on it, as well as the manager, coaches, everyone in that dugout, as opposed to steroids where you might be able to say, I'm only doing this for me and no one else, and I'm keeping it to myself. I mean, you either way, it's wrong. There's no doubt about it. But this is an incredibly serious aspect of the game that went on.
Talking with Pedro Gomez. He is in Boston, ESPN Baseball Insider Valley resident. Are we going to see Carlos Beltran get shown the door?
There's a couple of things.
Yeah.
I would say in a vacuum, yes, I think Carlos would not be the manager of the Mets in 1 month. The problem is that you've got an ownership group who we know is not that want on spending a lot of money. Mm. Well, they're going to be paying Mickey Callaway this year to be a manager where he's not there anymore. If they fired Beltran, it's not like Beltran is going to be suspended. Baseball has already said no players who participated in this will be suspended. And when Beltran participated, he was still a player. So Beltran signed a 3-year deal. You'd be paying Beltran another 3 years, plus whoever you hire right now would still have to be paid. So you'd be paying for 3 managers this year, only one of whom would be in the dugout. I think that is a big deal. But I don't know that the Mets will be able to move forward with Beltran in the dugout. That's a really, really tough situation for the Mets front office to navigate and how they are going to handle this.
The commissioner could jump in on this, right, Pedro? The commissioner could say, no, he's done. The commissioner could do that.
Not really.
No?
Because the commissioner gave immunity to any player who participated in the scheme. And if you give immunity to all players, then you cannot retrospectively come back and say, well, we're changing it now. So, I don't believe that the commissioner's office could step in.
The thing about today, Pedro, is this Mike Piazza street naming thing that's going on down in Port St. Lucie.
I know.
And Piazza is going to be asked about this. And the New York media was probably on planes this morning bolting down there. So this is turning into a story that I think the commissioners handled it the right way. But it was a Monday story. Now it's a Thursday story. Clearly, it's going to go into the weekend. I guess the overarching question I have on this is how much damage is being done to the game for the fan that watches saying, are these guys all stealing? Is it like, again, going back to the steroid issue?
Yeah, it's not a good spot to be in, which is why I believe that the commissioner's office is not going to do any more digging other than what they already have in front of them, unless something gets dropped on their lap. They're not interested in having fans at home say, well, this is wrestling.
Yeah.
We already know who's going to win before the match starts. At least they do. They cannot have baseball become wrestling. And for that sense, I think that this is going to end with the Astros and the Red Sox and no one else. And then, unless something gets dropped on their lap.
Yeah.
They just don't want the public viewing baseball as wrestling.
Let me get some quick thoughts from you. I'm just going to scattershot some things at you. Will Cora and Hinch manage again in Major League Baseball?
Hinch, yes. Cora, doubtful.
Are you close with any of these three guys, and has it made this story that much more difficult for you to believe?
Hinch and Cora, yes. I worked with Cora at ESPN for years. Mm-hmm. I knew him before when he was a player. Cora and A.J. Hinch and I have a very, very good relationship. It doesn't prevent me from doing my job.
Sure.
But it's difficult in the sense that these are people I consider, that I'm friendly with. But they know I have a job to do. They know that I'm not going to use that in any way to shape what I'm doing or anything like that or what I'll say. But it's uncomfortable in a sense because these are friends of mine.
Are there character issues with Hinch and Cora? And I'm not asking this from my point of view. It's this angle's been brought up. These are two really good guys. according to lots of people. But they cheated.
They are good guys.
Yeah.
They are.
But they cheated. So where do you take that line of character issue, being a good guy, if you're a cheat in a sport? Do you know what I mean by this? Because I'm hearing this a lot on these two guys.
Yeah, I know. And it's indefensible. I understand all of those things. I would just say that sometimes good people do bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a case where some good people got caught up, didn't maybe think it was as egregious an act as is now being portrayed, nor as maybe they completely understood. Look, the commissioner's report is very clear that Cora was an orchestrator of the system, whereas Hinch was against it but did not stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, either way, you're guilty, but it does not absolve you by any means just because you're a good guy.
One other question on this. Do the Dodgers and Yankees have every right to say you got to vacate winning titles and we got screwed?
Not really. Okay. You know what? It's not. I don't think MLB is going to turn into the NCAA where you vacate titles. It's unfortunate. And I think that what will happen is that the baseball public will be left to say, yeah, they won, but it's kind of like how a lot of people view, okay, Barry Bonds might be the all-time home run leader, but in my mind, Hank Aaron really is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that believe that, and I think you just leave it up to the public to always throw in the, but this is what really should have happened, or this is what really is. I don't think baseball is going to get into erasing record books and all those kinds of things.
Last question, that is on the Diamondbacks. So end of last season, Chris Bryant's name had been kicked around in print that he could possibly be someone that would be focused on by the Diamondbacks. It's been resurfaced here in the last few weeks in print, on radio, on TV. What are you hearing with the Diamondbacks and the Cubs third baseman?
Look, I would say this. Anything, whenever you hear the Diamondbacks involved in anything, I would say that there's always a chance that something could happen. The Diamondbacks, despite not being a big, big market team, are a wild card when it comes to almost anything. And we saw that with Zach Greinke. That was not a typical move that a mid to low level market club would ever jump in on, but yet they did. And Ken Kendrick, the owner, makes the D-backs a wild card whenever it comes to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not just, as a matter of case, I would not just eliminate it and say, nah, there's no chance. There is always a chance whenever the Diamondbacks are involved of anything wild happening.
And Mad Bum's one of those. I mean, I think
that's... Well, there's another one. I mean, it wasn't quite the money, obviously,
no, right,
but it
right,
is.
Right, no, it
yeah,
is.
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is. It's not like that was a move that I think a lot of baseball people said, oh, no, he's going to go to the D-backs. No, the D-backs are always a wild card, and it's because Ken Kendrick is so willing to say, here's my checkbook, let's do it.
Safe travels, good work, good stuff. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks.
Okay, Brad, take care.
It's Pedro Gomez from Boston. Yeah, this story is, it's one where the angle of Alex Cora is a really good guy. A.J. Hinch is a really good guy, but they cheated. So where do you come down on that? Do you just look at someone and say they made a mistake for the rest of their life? They're, you know, they're banished, or one-time deal? Is A.J. Hinch going to be allowed to come back and manage at some point? Because obviously he has done a good job. Obviously, when the Diamondbacks hired A.J. Hinch and Josh Burns was here and that whole deal with Derek and Josh and not being on the same page, that A.J. Hinch was a pretty good hire. I had a Major League Baseball umpire tell me that in the year that A.J. Hinch, the first year that A.J. Hinch was managing, and they said, yeah, he's about two or three moves behind. This is a very established, well-known Major League Baseball umpire. He said, he's two, three moves behind, meaning he knows what he's doing. He's just not caught up to speed yet. You don't get caught up being a manager overnight. And, you know, now look at what he's done. All right, a few more thoughts before we get out of here after this timeout. So some of you have been asking about not seeing Bill in a while. So Goody at the Movies has been really focused on the political side of things. And I've reached out to Bill. Bill's been sick. I want to get Bill back on. That's going to happen. But he's been so focused on things, it's not really fair to him. Like, what have you seen? Well, I haven't seen anything because I've been focused on everything that's been going on with Trump, which, by the way, is more important in society. I kind of like the movie side of things. So to that end, I don't have any trailer, but as I get out of here, go see 1917 this weekend. If for nothing else, then it's shot in one camera. The whole movie. There's not one edit. I mean, there's got to be some edits somewhere, but you don't see one flipping edit. The whole movie. I'm sitting there with my wife, and like a minute into it, I am literally gasping, like, they haven't edited yet. And then I would just say out loud, it's been 2 minutes and they haven't edited. It's been 4 minutes. And then it just kind of hits you like, they're not going to have an edit for the entire hour and 50 minutes of this movie. And there's things that happen, and it's captivating. It really is. And, you know, the sports side of things, this is a slow weekend. You know, tonight I can watch the Knicks and Suns. I don't know why I would, but I will because it's my job. Just gosh-awful basketball. This is one of those games, if the Suns lose tonight to the stinking Knicks, who have 11 wins on the season, and they lose games like Sacramento, these are the games that will get you knocked out of the playoffs because they're only 3.5 back of the final playoff spot behind San Antonio. My point is on this rant is there's no college football this weekend. The NFL games are Sunday afternoon and Sunday night. Go on a date. Go hang out. Go do something. Get away from sports for a little bit because we've just gone through the grind of the season where all your loved ones around you, you've just been focused in. You guys have had a great time, but go do something different. Go hike. I don't know. But if you're going to go see a movie, go see 1917. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Now, Devin has a little spot here. It's not actually a little spot. It's a big spot. He's totally into sportive speed, into racing. Every Wednesday, he has his podcast here, and he's been working on it. I think it's very good. Eric Sorensen is also senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. We have plenty of content over on our website at sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We are self-funded. That means we have sponsors that take care of our partners and take care of our travel and those sorts of things. So we appreciate our partners. Make sure you support them. Have yourself a great day.